Welcome back. It has been a long time. We have been away. So I know there's a lot of people that aren't even checking for us this evening because we took a nice little hiatus. We had some personal things going on. I got married. Paris had some stuff going on. And, I think it was a break that we both needed. So without further ado, let me bring my man on in here. Paris, what is going on this evening, brother? How are you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. It's funny because I was just listening to what you were saying, and I was like, man, we've been gone so long that you had a chance to pick up a new wife. Once again, lovely ceremony. Congrats to you and a lovely bride.
And appreciate you for coming out. Yes, yes.
I had a chance to pick up a new hip, and all of us had a chance to get a new president. So it's been a hell of a 4 weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. So I'm thinking tonight we're just going to talk sports. It's going to be a true barbershop. There's going to be no rhyme or reason. So much has happened. If you're just looking at the NBA season has started. The baseball season has ended. Football, our Bears are struggling mightily. College football has had some changes. College basketball is kicking off right now. Number 2 Kentucky and number 13 Michigan State are going at it on ESPN. And like you said, we have a new president elect, and I won't say I'm surprised. It was only two options. I'm really getting tired of people saying I'm so surprised, but it was two options, Paris. It's like if you go left or right, it shouldn't be surprised that you make one of the choices. You only got two options.
Pretty much.
But I'm astounded. Where I was surprised was that he even made it this far. Once he made it this far, at that point, you pretty much saw what America was made of from my standpoint. So, but anyway, let's kick it off, man. Where would you like to start? I don't even care. Like I said, we're not going to focus on any one thing. What would you like to start on? What would you like to get off your chest from a sports standpoint since we haven't been on in so long?
Who do you think are the four teams in the college football playoff that will be announced this evening? Who will be the four?
Alabama 1, Ohio State 2.
Now is when it gets interesting.
Well, I saw the AP and they had Michigan 4, and I'm not sure how Michigan can drop from 2 to only 4. Louisville won. You had Washington State lose. You had Clemson lose. You had Michigan lose. 2, 3, 4 lost. In my opinion, 5 and 6 should automatically move, or 5, 6, and 7, or at least 5 and 6 should move up to the front. And then,
right.
And then I guess you have to decide whose loss was worse between the three, if you want to put one of them at four. I don't know. I guess I don't know what the strength of schedule is. I know a couple weeks ago Michigan's strength of schedule was 55th because I was having a discussion with a guy who's a Western Michigan fan, and he was discussing, you know, something that I've said in the past, how I don't think – we all know it's money motivated, so let's just get that out of the way early. But I don't like the fact that they put out these rankings early because if you have a team – like let's say Illinois starts off, you know, a little bit – they start off 6-0. If they're not – if they're ranked – if they're unranked, their 6-0 only puts them at like 17th, 16th, 15th.
Mm-hmm.
But another six, but you have those other teams that might start off in the top five, and they go 5-2, and well, now they're still ranked in the top 10. So I don't know, Paris. I don't know how strong the Pac-10 is, as far as Washington's concerned. You know, Clemson is that team that I think every year for the past few years we've all waited for that loss. You know what I mean? We've all waited for that one loss. And they've been playing some close games this year, so I'm not really surprised that they ended up losing. I'm surprised who they lost to. But I don't know, Paris. That's my four is. I guess I got to put Louisville up there, man. So I got to go without looking at it. I got to go Alabama, Ohio State, Louisville, and then one of those other three, possibly maybe Clemson, since they were the highest ranked, maybe without looking. What were your thoughts?
I'm definitely going to go with Clemson. The first two are no-brainers with Alabama and Ohio State. Ohio State, strength of schedule is nice. The wins at Wisconsin and at Oklahoma looks better every day. And a loss at Penn State all of a sudden doesn't look so bad. With Penn State, I believe,
right,
being ranked 10th, I believe, last time I looked.
That loss looks a lot better right now. Yep.
It sure does. Michigan, I felt, has been a fraud all season because I feel like their schedule was the ultimate cupcake. I think they've only played, two true road games this year, and they got tripped up on one of them. Their preseason schedule was a joke. The best thing they did was Colorado, and, you know, Colorado gave them a pretty decent game. So I always felt like it was only a matter of time for Michigan. And I think that Jim Harbaugh is getting a little bit too much love a little bit too early. Washington.
Okay.
The Pac-10 is weak, so let's count Washington out. They're going to lose another game to Washington State. So that leaves me with Clemson and Louisville. I mean, I'm going to knock Clemson down for losing, but I'm still going to put Clemson ahead of Michigan because Clemson has a win over Louisville. Who exactly does Michigan have a win over? You know, they both two unranked teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's, you know,
Louisville.
I can't argue with
that. And Clemson is those last two teams.
I cannot argue with your rationale. Your rationale makes perfectly good sense. So I'm not gonna argue nor debate that. But I think the beautiful thing about how it's set up right now, at least, and I'll say that, is that it's kind of going to play itself out. Ohio State has to still play Michigan. That will knock one of them out of it. Michigan and Ohio State both beat Wisconsin, who's right there on the cusp. You know, they're back there at like number 7 or 8 or something like that.
Right.
Alabama still has a couple, you know, potentially tough games. And Clemson still has to, you know, win their, you know, they still have to win their conference. So, you know, the NCAA said that winning your conference was going to be a big thing. This year they may have a chance to prove it. They may have a chance to prove it this year. But, and I say this very skeptically, Western Michigan is still undefeated, and they're slowly moving up. I'm in no way, shape, or form advocating that Western Michigan is better than Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Louisville, any of those teams. I know Western Michigan has a very good team. I've watched them play a few times. They're a very good team.
Uh-huh.
And the last time we had a quote-unquote outsider in the final or in that type of arena was it Boise State? When they beat – was it they beat Oklahoma or who did they beat? When dude proposed to his girlfriend?
Oklahoma. Everybody beats Oklahoma in a bowl game. Yeah, they beat Oklahoma.
Was it Oklahoma that they beat?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Yeah, because you know, everybody beat them, so I wasn't sure. Oh, wow. The Seattle Seahawks waived Christian Michael.
yeah, that was they did that earlier. Yeah.
That was fast. Okay. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out, Paris. It should be real interesting. But like I said, I think at the end, the one beautiful thing about them, I'm an advocate of 8 teams in. But, you know, then, of course, the other side of the argument is, where does it end? Next thing you know, it'd be 64. But I think eight is a good round number. That gives you a chance to put the major conference winners in plus 2. But, you know, hey, 4 is better than what we had. So we have to appreciate what we have. The last couple of years have been really exciting, Paris. I've really enjoyed it. Just from the standpoint of looking forward to the games. What's your thoughts on the playoffs? Do you like it at 4? Would you prefer it?
Yeah,
at 8?
I like it.
What
I mean, I made a post last year in the sports group about, you know, moving it to 8 that way, because it's only 5 major conferences. So that way you take your 5 major conference winners and 3 at-larges. But I was always fearful that somehow Notre Dame would always get an at-large bid. But since they're garbage, I guess I can sleep good at night. As far as this season, there's still a whole lot of football to be played. That's why, to me, you know, I like discussing it. It's good barbershop talk. But at the end of the day, like I tell people, it's no need to really get excited either way. Because when the dust clears, I think we're going to have a clear picture of who the top 4 teams are. I really do. Ohio State still play Michigan and Washington play Washington State. And Louisville has a hell of a game coming up this weekend at Houston. That's going to be a tough game.
Now,
you remember,
they're
Houston
on the same side
of the
on the same side as Clemson in their division, right?
Yeah.
Aren't they in the same side of the –
Houston isn't in that conference. But, yes, Louisville is on the same
as Clemson. No. Yeah, Clemson. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I think like I was saying earlier, like you just said, it'll take care of itself. It just so happens that these 4 teams have a lot of business to still take care of. There's still a lot of work that they have to do from the standpoint of getting right.
And what if Alabama loses? You know, and I think Alabama is the only one lost team that I think that no matter what happens, they would make it. You know, they'll be the only team with the loss. Like, for instance, if Alabama lost the SEC championship game, they're still going to be in the Final Four. But because of their body of work, they're still going to be in the Final Four.
Yeah, I can't argue with you. Because Michigan dropped, allegedly, if you look at the AP, they only dropped from 2 to 4. And, you know, we all know Iowa's not a bad team, but looking at the record, which is all we can go on, Michigan should have dropped further in 2 spots. You can't lose 2. I don't even think Iowa's ranked. I may be
they
wrong,
were.
But I don't think Iowa – yes, I don't know how you only dropped 2 spots losing to an unranked team. But I guess if you're going to make that argument, then you can make the same argument about Wake Forest beating up Clemson. Because Wake Forest isn't ranked either.
Well, you
so
mean Pittsburgh?
I don't know how you say that
you
out.
Could.
I mean Pittsburgh. I thought they lost Wake Forest. No, that's
not
right.
Pittsburgh.
That was 2 weeks ago they played Wake Forest and almost lost. That was 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, but, you know, when it comes to college football, I wanted to make this comment. The one thing that always bothers me, and trust I'm in no way trying to go to the kids to get paid argument, so we're gonna stay away from that. But what always bothers me is when the NCAA says, well, we don't want to go to more teams because, you know, these are student athletes and we care about their grades. Do you really? What's one more football game going to do? What's one more game for 2 teams? You know, you got 4, you put in 8 teams. Really, one more game is going to – come on, man. Just if you don't want to do it, just say you don't want to do it. But let's not make it sound like adding an extra game is going to make or break their grades. I think they've seen how much money they can make from the four. They made a lot of money, Paris. A lot of money from that playoff.
Right.
I think they will soon go to 8. As soon as they legally can go to 8, they go to 8. 347-637-3859 if you're checking us out on the website. If you've already called in, and we have a few callers here, don't forget, press the 1 button and you can jump in on the conversation. Okay, well, we did that. College basketball pairs. Let me get your thoughts. Calipari, what are your thoughts on him? Unfiltered, I want to know your thoughts on him because a lot of people have a lot of opinions. I want your opinion.
Used car salesman. That's what the job Calipari is. I think that he's the guy that he's left two programs that have both been in trouble, and UMass and Memphis as soon as he left. And to me, X's and O's, because I really do watch coaches and sort of try to pick apart what they do, what they don't do. Calipari is a solid coach, but he's never the type of guy that I feel is going to win a game based solely on his coaching wits. It's sort of like the Tom Izzo will do, you know. But what he has done, and he was maybe the first to do it, and you know, no one has been able to get on his level as far as the recruiting is. He has built a factory to where is now the best recruits every year. You know, Kentucky's going to have either the first or the second class. You know, he's got, you know, he tapped into social media. He sends out pictures of him backstage with Jay-Z. You know, he goes on the First Take shows and things like this, and all that is fun to where is now, you know, it's just a factory. If you're a McDonald's All-American, and you're one of the top, you know, 1 through 5 players in the nation, you go to Kentucky. That's just what you do because guess what? Your buddies are gone. So, you know, I just really can't knock his hustle, but to me, that's who he is.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. There's been a lot of conversation over the years about when you're talking about recruiting, you know, illegal recruitment. There's also specifications and limits on the students, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I ask this kind of facetiously, but with a little bit of seriousness. For the NCAA to be as concerned as they are with recruiting and recruiting violations, and I understand that there is a demand aspect, but when you see coaches like Coach Cal that are always getting a national stage, and I'll even bring football into it as another example, with Notre Dame having their games played on NBC, that's a recruiting tool. When you can tell the kids, hey, every game you play, you're going to be on national TV. Do you think that the recruiting aspect of the game should also apply to coaches? Do you think maybe, hey, you are limited to X amount of appearances on national sports programs? Because like you said,
you can't
trip on the Twitter and Facebook. But if this cat, like, you know, Coach K gets to, you know, come on TV, and these dudes always get the players. I don't think it's a coincidence.
Well, to me, that's just a coach building his brand. And you really can't knock him for that.
Definitely.
You know,
not knock him at all.
And when the rules was put in place, you know, nobody knew about, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all this stuff and, you know, how crazy recruiting would be. And it's just certain guys have taken advantage of it. You know, like you said, like Coach K, you know, coaching the you know, U.S. national men's team. You know, what better recruiting tool than that to walk into somebody's living room and go, hey, not only have I won championships, I've coached, you know, from LeBron to Kyrie Irving to, I've done it all, know all those guys. Matter of fact, look, hey, Paul George just sent me a text. Let me take this real quick. So, yeah, like I was saying, you come see me and maybe one day I, you know, you can be wearing that USA jersey. So, you know, it is what it is. And as far as the major conferences, I think what we're going to see sooner or later is I think we're going to see a super conference in football. I think
now explain. I know what you mean, but explain to the people listening what you mean by super conference, where if they're not familiar.
It's I think a team like Texas, who sort of owns that conference now, and Oklahoma has basically tied their, you know, hitched their wagon to Texas. Whatever Texas do, we're going to do. I could see maybe one day a school like Texas leaving and maybe joining the SEC or the Pac-10 like was reported. And I think we're going to start seeing super conferences form. I think Notre Dame sooner or later is going to be forced to get in a conference. And that's going to be Armageddon in the beginning of the end, in my opinion. But I think that's what's going to happen. And even though Notre Dame has the NBC games now, you know, most schools have their own network, you know, because I know, like, BNU, we watch the Big Ten network. Even a garbage school like mine, Illinois, I could watch every Illinois football game. Now, is it on NBC? No, but I still can watch every Illinois football game on a Saturday. You know, I can always find it. And I think that's where we're going. Now, here's something I've always thought about. As fans, okay. I think we're sort of lucky. I think we're sort of lucky. And this is why I say it. You know, with things the way it is now, and with money, you know, I can't blame you. People are in a business to make money. I can't
right.
blame them because me and my wife have a goal of opening up a business within the next 3 to 4 years. And doggone it, our goal is going to be to make as much money as possible, too. So, you know, a lot of people knock businesses for, they're trying to, you know, make money. Well, yeah, that's sort of why you have a business, to make money. You don't open a business and say, I want to do okay. No, you go, I want to make as much money as possible. Don't you think we're lucky that we haven't had to pay for college football like we do the NFL with the NFL package?
I'm scared. I'm really fearful that it's coming at some point.
For a couple years I've been thinking, because it seems like every Saturday night, you know, I sit down and I go to ABC or ESPN, and I got a major game on. You know, whether it's, you know,
well,
LSU
in fairness,
Alabama.
They tried it before the Big Ten Network, before the SEC
mm-hmm.
Network. They tried it because it used to be it used to be called the regional packages. But people weren't really checking for those. So when they realized
mm-hmm.
they weren't getting any money, then the schools were like, oh, so you guys are going to try to make money and we get nothing. Okay.
Right.
So the schools kind of superseded their plan by developing their own network and saying, you're not going to make money unless you allow us to show our games. And we'll still come on your little channels and let you show our games. So they tried. It still scares me.
Yeah. I just see myself a day complaining and moaning and groaning because I'm going to have to pay $100 a year to watch all major college football games. I'm happy we haven't gotten there yet. But like I said, every time I watch LSU and Alabama or, you know, USC and Washington, I always go, hey, man, this is sort of cool. You know, I almost feel like I'm watching this for free. And I have a feeling that one day this is going to end. That's always in the back of my mind. One day that's going to end.
I agree. I just want to send a quick shout-out, Paris, to all of the students in high school and college that walked out of school. Too late. Trump already won. Anyway, I'm still waiting for somebody to tell me what the protests are actually about. I've gotten like 10 different answers. I just want to know. With that said, Paris,
I know they did it here. It was a high school here in Phoenix. It was a couple of high schools here. And, you know, I was listening to
what was their
coverage.
Reason?
What they were saying in a nutshell is like, hey, there's no way in heck we can have this racist bastard as our president and we protest. That's basically what they were going at. That's basically what it was.
Like I said, I've heard a bunch of different answers, and if somebody told me that, I'd go, that's cool. Do your thing. Get your protests on. This country was built on revolt and protest, and I'm fine with that. But when people tell me, like I asked a couple of people today, well, why are y'all protesting? Man, I don't know. I just got a day. I'm just leaving school. Oh. Oh, okay, homie. Let me know how that works out for you when the grades come out. Because you obviously aren't really up on top of everything that's going on. Man, we talked about all the stuff that's happened since we did the show. The Cubs won a World Series. All right, enough about baseball.
right. We don't want to do that. No. Yay!
For the people
great.
That are listening,
job,
Paris
so.
And I are both White Sox fans. And we're not fair weather fans. We're not bandwagon fans. We're not the kind of guys that are going to go out and buy hats because the Chicago Cubs won. No, not doing it. Congrats to them. They earned it. The streak is over. Give them their props. They were the best team at the beginning of the season, allegedly. And by the end of the season, they factually proved that they are the best team in baseball. Don't care. Not jumping on that ship. Not jumping on that bandwagon. But congrats to them and their fans all the same. It's been a long time. So sincere congrats to them about that. But we've also had a new A Tribe Called Quest album drop, Paris, since we've been on the radio. Now, I know, Paris, it's not old. It's not, you know, the old Tribe, you know, fighting passed away. So
right.
You know, they were working. They were officially working on the album before it dropped. So the lyrics are legit. It's not like they're piping in lyrics from 1992 or something, or 94. The lyrics were legit. Have you listened to the album? Because I know you're not as big a hip-hop fan as I am.
You know what? I know that it dropped, and it was on my list of things to download when next time I go to the gym. So I'll probably do it tomorrow before I go to the gym. Have you listened to it?
You should check it out. I've listened to it a few times, and my assessment is this. It's not great. You can't take 16, 18 years away and come back and especially in the music scene and do what you did before.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great. But I remember when EPMD got back together and I said, it's not great, but it's still better than a lot of the stuff that's out now. That's kind of the way I feel about this Tribe. It's not great. Like, if I had to grade it against other Tribe albums, it wouldn't be the top three. It would not even make the top three. But to show you how poor the landscape of hip-hop is for people like me, and I say people like me because, in fairness, there are 16-year-olds that have no idea what the landscape used to be. You know, Lil Yachty said he's never even heard a Biggie song except for in a movie. So there are people that have never heard A Tribe Called Quest. Yeah, I'm just keeping it real, man. You know, let's just, you know, hey, it is what it is. But, you know, if you just want to hear, if you're nostalgic like I am, like EPMD dropped the album about 6 years ago, 5 years ago or so, and I picked it up just because I liked EPMD. It's a good album. It's not great. If you're trying to compare it to Old Tribe, you'll be disappointed. If you listen to it just for what it's worth, which is a comeback album or the final album of a group that, you know, that you were a fan of, you'll enjoy
it.
You know, again, not great, but very enjoyable album. And I was listening to it today. I was listening to it right up until the show started. And I'll be listening to it tomorrow just because I'm a Tribe junkie, man. I got all their albums on my phone. So,
would you say it's worth me spending the $11, $12? Because I'm not going to lie. I feel like I'm the last person in America where I don't do the downloads. I don't do the, you know, the go to this site. And it's, you know, I just don't have time for it. And one time I tried to get in the download business, you know, I went to a site when I was stationed in England, and I think it was like Watch TV or something like that. But all I know, it was a site where I could go and watch TV shows that was on in the States. And I got a virus that basically turned my laptop inside out. So ever since then, I'm that nerdy dude that actually goes and buys an iTunes card and downloads music. So is it worth my $12 or $13? That's all I need to know.
I'll say for somebody like you, probably not. For me, yes, but I'm a Tribe junkie. But here's what you do. The alternative is to go to something like Spotify. You can listen to it on Spotify. Believe you, I pay for Spotify. I pay the $10 a month for Spotify. So that I can control my music. But I think you can go in there and listen to it for free. The songs might not play in order, but if you just wanted to hear it, try that. Try downloading the Spotify app on your phone. Set that up. You don't have to pay for it to use it. But like I said, it might play out of order, but you can listen to it. So, you know, give that a try before you spend the money. You might not like it. You know, everybody's different. Music is like beauty. It's all in the ear. As you know, beauty's in the eye, obviously, but it's all in the ear of the listener. You know what? You know the same person that'll tell you Lil Yachty is the best thing since sliced bread. You know, and I listen to it and say something completely different. But again, you know, in a sick, twisted way, we're both right. If he thinks that it's a cold album, it's cold to him. So there's that. All right, please, Lucy. What we haven't talked any NBA, Paris. We talked no NBA. Are there any surprises right now? As I know you're bigger. I'm bigger in the college than I am the NBA, and you're into the NBA. You sit, you watch all the games. I know you're into it. What's been going on in the NBA, Paris?
Well, the LA Clippers have gotten off to a real hot start. But, I mean, it's 10 games into the season. I had somebody send me a text today. I won't reveal his name. Said the Clippers are the best team in basketball. Enough said.
No.
I replied back.
Reveal his name.
I'm not going to reveal his name. I replied
hold
back.
Hold up. It wasn't our man that's been missing in action from the Sports Authority, is it?
Yeah, that guy. I replied back. I replied back, if only they gave out championships on November the 15th. If only. Otherwise, things will start to settle down. Toronto, you know, they've gotten off to a nice start. I'm watching them play Cleveland now. They're up one in Cleveland with 6 minutes left. But somehow LeBron is going to do what LeBron does, do some LeBron James things, and I'm confident they'll pull this out. Charlotte, I believe at one point in time they were 7-1. They've recently lost. They're catching heck in Minnesota tonight, so they'll come back to the pack. And we have Golden State, who is the most overanalyzed team I think I've ever seen in the history of the NBA. And it's almost no fun because whenever they play.
Would you say even more overanalyzed than the Miami Heat when they first got together with the big three?
Yes. It's something about this team where every game they play, if they win, not good enough. You know, everybody's an expert. And now, you know, now Andrew Bogut, who I remember last summer, you know, during the finals, he was the butt of jokes. We was calling him Bogut. He was a bum. He had to go. Now all of a sudden Andrew Bogut is a missing link. You know, everybody hear these terms, rim protection and things like this. And now all of a sudden, you know, fans are like, oh, they need to trade Clay. They need to trade Draymond Green. They need to do this. But they're 8-2. I wish my team was 8-2. I mean, when they lose, it's definitely panic worry time. And when they win, it's, yeah, they won, but I still don't think they're going to be as good as last year. They won 73 games last year. That was historically great. What was the odds of them being better again this year? But the key was they lost the championship. So that's where we are out west. San Antonio is still San Antonio. You know that I don't think they're going to make much noise this year in the playoffs. I see another second-round exit. But, you know, they aren't going anywhere. You have Oklahoma, and you have Russell Westbrook, who gets to do – everything. But he made his bed, so let him lay in it. They're currently on a 4-game losing streak. You have James Harden down in Houston, who has gotten off to a real nice start. But at the end of the day, I think they're going to be around a 500 team, so I don't think he'll seriously be in the MVP discussion.
Correct.
Otherwise, it's business as usual. And it looks like Boogie Cousins might be heading to the trading block officially because it looks like this thing in Sacramento is going to come to an end, and they're probably realizing the longer we hold him, he loses value. There's no way in heck that he's going to resign with us. And
correct.
A team would like to have him for a year and a half instead of a year. So if we're going to move him, let's just do it now and get it over with. From listening to, you know, a couple of reporters there, that looks like that could it could get to a point where they start actually taking calls and actively looking to move him once and for all.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I don't know if you saw Rajon Rondo not playing tonight for the Bulls when they
hit
against Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Road trip,
the goal, as Dwayne Wade said, let's go 3-3. We go 3-3, I'm happy.
And for the Bulls fans, I mentioned it that I You know, one of the guys that works on the local radio station here, we were talking, and he was telling me that there was talk that they were going to end the circus trip. And then sure enough, George found an announcement later that day where they announced that they're putting an end to that.
Yep.
And as a Chicago Bulls and Blackhawks fan, I'm glad. You should not have to go on a 7-game West Coast road trip. I mean, I get it monetarily. I get it that the stadium made a lot of money from the circus. But apparently they weren't making as much as people thought because they've decided to end that arrangement.
What's happening is circuses, you know, aren't as popular as they once were. And so now the circus is going to be moving to a smaller venue. And the other trip that we have, you know, we have the Ice Capades annual trip too. But that's going to be dropping down to 2 weeks. I mean, 1 week instead of two. Now, I don't know if the Spurs are still stuck with their rodeo trip, but hey, that's the Spurs. Who cares about them?
No, I don't care.
Yeah, no one cares.
Let me ask you some pairs as it pertains to the NBA. I thought, and I have to go back to the post where we all put up our prediction
mm-hmm.
post as far as the standings. But I can't remember if I had Phoenix in the top eight, but I definitely thought Phoenix would be better than 3-8. Is 3-8,
mm-hmm.
you know how they say you are what your record says you are. Is Phoenix a 3-8 team? Or are they just playing bad basketball right now?
Oh, no. They've earned that. They're bad.
Do you see them being bad long-term being the entire year?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Fair enough.
Yeah, well, with that,
you want?
The team really looks like they're sort of spinning their wheels. They're stuck in trying to go young. I'm really not sure what they're doing. I mean, when you have a guy like Jared Dudley starting, I'm really not sure. You know, the Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight thing, you might as well move one of those guys. I mean, they do is screw up point guards, but one of those guys mm-hmm. has to go. It looks like it'll be Brandon Knight since he's already coming off the bench. I just have a funny feeling that he'll be the guy that will get the short stick here, and he'll be moved.
Well, the two young guys are averaging 20-plus, if I recall, Warren and Booker.
Yeah, so you have Warren, you have Booker. To me, that's the foundation. Now, I'm not an Eric Bledsoe fan. I think he's like a running back playing basketball, but I met him. He's a real cool dude, so I really don't want to talk bad about him. But besides that, you have the young kid, Chris, and you have Dragan Bender. So they just need to sort of just go through the growing pains and try to retool that team. Signing Tyson Chandler was a horrible idea, especially since the main reason behind it was trying to lure LaMarcus Aldridge to town, which was horrible. But that's a horrible
thing. Hold on. They signed Tyson Chandler in hopes that LaMarcus Aldridge would follow?
Yes. That was the big thing here. That they signed.
I need to send in my resume for general manager. Yeah, hire me.
Yes, they signed him and took him to the meeting that they had with LaMarcus Aldridge. And supposedly, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge was just floored by Tyson Chandler being here. Yeah, you know what's funny? I don't want to get too off track, but what's funny is whenever you have these meetings during the summers, every time a team has a meeting, you always get the report that the player was floored by their presentation, and now he's leaning that way. Nobody ever has a bad meeting. And everybody has
Melo was floored in Chicago. LeBron was floored. D-Wade was floored.
Yeah, Kevin Durant
who am I leaving out?
Floored. Kevin Durant was so impressed that Tom Brady came to that meeting. I mean, you know, it's like everybody celebrates to say, hey, we finished second. He didn't sign here, but he would have. You know, that seems to be the goal. So with Phoenix, they're going to be bad for a while. Your only hope with Phoenix is that the young kids, Booker looks like he's going to be a stud. Warren looks like he's going to be a good player. Now, if you hit on Chris and Bender, okay, now you might be on to something. To me, that's That's all they are a young team.
And I'm not gonna lie, the drafting of both Bender and Chris kind of, you know, I collect tickets on the train for a living, so I'm not gonna sit here and talk too bad about a GM in that situation, but I will say I was surprised that they went that way with both picks. But like you said, if it works out in the end,
it's like Sacramento. Sacramento, you already have Boogie Cousins. You already have Costa Kufis. So what do? You draft Willie Cauley-Stein. Then you come back this year. You draft Scal Abissier and the Greek kid, whose name I can't pronounce. So you basically have...
And Abissier had done nothing in college. He didn't prove he could play in college.
Exactly. So you basically have arguably the best center in the game. When his head is screwed on right and he wants to play, well, let's say the most talented center in the game. I think that's fair. Best, that would be a reach because he's sort of crazy at times. So what do? You surround him with four more centers. When you have nothing but failures at your wing position, sorry, with Ben McLemore, and your point guard situation is Darren Collison and Ty Hennessy Lawson, that's the best thing you can do. But yet,
you didn't
your way around
Hennessy.
Yes,
he just hit my man with a jab. Alright, cool. Oh, here, dog.
Hey, right, you know what I'm just saying. Like you said, hey, you know, GMs, they get paid a lot of money, and I'm sure, you know, they know more, they forgot more about basketball than I'll ever know. But sometimes, some decisions is made really makes me go, okay, like, really, like, if you give me a quarter of that salary,
so,
I will do that job. And I can speak just as good as they can.
Does this next thing I'm going to mention fall into that? Philadelphia trading away the rookie of the year, the point guard rookie of the year, then drafting centers 3 years in a row?
And not having a point guard? Yes.
Yeah.
And now they're to the point where they're going to have to trade one. You're never going to get good value when everybody in the NBA knows you have to trade a guy.
Yeah.
You have to move a guy, and I don't know. You have B&B, you have Okafor. What did they do?
And the thing about it is, if you're Philly, you can't put a lot of faith in Embiid until he at least plays. You know, just to make a quick comparison to the Chicago fans that are, oh, Derrick Rose, we shouldn't have got rid of him. When you have a guy that's hurt consistently, you can't put your faith, nor your, more importantly, your money behind that guy. In Philly's case,
right. They
really can't. It's like you don't want to trade the dude, and then he turns out to, you know, Michael Jordan broke his foot his first year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was Michael Jordan after that. You don't want to trade away Embiid. You've waited this long for him to come around to play. And then you trade him to somebody else, and then he becomes everything you thought he was going to be. At the same token, to your point, you're not going to get value for the other guys, for Nerlens Noel or for Jahlil Okafor. And then you don't want to trade any of them because now Embiid might get hurt. Dude, they've put themselves in a real jacked-up position.
I think Noel is going to be the odd man out. And I see Embiid and Okafor sort of sharing the center spot, which is going to be awkward because you're going to have two young guys that wants to play. And it's only a matter of time before Okafor, you know, low-key tells his agent, get me the you-know-what out of here. You know that's coming.
Yeah.
And we still have to wait on Ben Simmons.
I don't even see my man listed. Has he played this year?
Simmons?
No, I know
Simmons. No, he hasn't. Right. And that's another thing with Noel. People keep saying, trade Noel. I'm like, well, no team is going to trade for this guy until he comes back and actually proves that he can play.
And if they do, they're not going to give you a whole lot.
Yeah. And I got a feeling when Philly ends up trading Noel, which they will, a lot of fans are going to go, and that's all they could get? But they waited so long that they backed themselves into a corner. He's a year away out of his rookie deal. That the haul for him is going to look real low.
But if we're being fair, most trades the fans of the team that's trading say, that's all? I mean, Kevin Garnett, that's all?
Right.
Derrick Rose, that's all? I mean, it's hard. To your point, it's hard to get value for. I mean, you're not trading a guy that's good and healthy and has a great attitude. You tend to trade guys that are good with injury issues or good with attitude issues, or you just stink so bad that you're trying to stack assets before you lose a guy. And even then, the other teams know you're trying to trade him before he becomes a free agent. Again, it goes against against what you're trying to do from a strength standpoint. So, yeah, I don't know what they were doing. They put themselves in the position they're in. And I wish them the best with that, Paris. But, you know, we got our own
trust
problems
in
Chicago. So
yes, trust the process.
Definitely. That's all you can do at this point.
I'm not even going to talk about the quarterback situation. That is what it is. But
who? The Bears?
Yeah, I'm talking about the Bears. So I'm not even going to talk about that. But
I thought you somehow went to the Bears quarterback situation. Go ahead.
I'm not going to get into that. But
earlier
this year, jokingly, I said John Fox needs to be careful, and I'm starting to get this funny feeling that unless he can find a way to steal a couple of games, John Fox's seat might be real warm come Black Monday.
Well,
real warm.
I think it's warm right now, if you were to ask me.
You know, because there's a part of me that says, you know, look at the injuries, especially at the quarterback position. It's a part of me that says, then, you know, you're missing you're playing guys off the practice squad as your starting cornerbacks. You know, your best pass rusher was out until the past 2 weeks. You know, you lose your nose tackle for, 4 weeks? And I take all that consideration. Trevathan was hurt. So you have to take that into consideration. But at the same time, sometimes I look at the team, and especially this Tampa Bay loss, where you basically have a week and a half to prepare, and you come out and you play like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm gonna add a little something to that. Dallas lost their quarterback.
Well,
you know, given they had a better base talent, they had a better base of talent.
Exactly.
But here's the point that I'm getting to. The Dallas Cowboys drafted a quarterback, even though it was the fourth round, and I'm not tripping. I'm so tired of people saying the Bears should have drafted him. There's a reason he went in the fourth round. Whatever reason you want to come up with, there's a reason why everybody passed on him three times and half the teams passed on him a fourth or whatever the number was. But the point is that at some point they secured their position. Now, in fairness, the Bears went out and they didn't do it via draft. They secured their backup quarterback. He was putting up good numbers. There was a lot of injuries, but, you know, I just don't think the Bears had enough talent from in their starters, let alone depth in their backups. And I think they really need, you know, I think they had a decent draft class last draft, and I think Floyd is, you know, starting to come on, which, you know, hey, people want this kid to come out game one and get 3 or 4 sacks. It doesn't work like that. It's a process. You got to give the kid time. But he's looked better as the season has gone on. Howard has looked better. I'm hoping that whatever's wrong with his Achilles or ankle, I hope that gets better. But, again, Will Sutton, D-tackle, comes back for a quarter, back on the IR. Or he's back out. He's on the IR, done for the year. Kyle Long, done for the year. Jordan Howard, possibly hurt. Grassou got hurt early in the season. Alshon Jeffery, gone for 4. Dude, it just doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop. And I'm not one to just decide, hey, we should fire a coach. You should fire this guy. I think there has to be some continuity. The one thing that people can say about Jay is that every year he's had a different offensive coordinator. And anybody that's played any kind of football knows that, or even watched knows that that means every year the quarterback is trying something new. He's not getting any consistency. But this is supposed to be Fox's specialty. Year two is supposed to be his specialty. And we have regressed. And I don't care why, we've regressed. And I'm not going to sit here and say I need people fired, but I need some answers. And I don't care who gives it to me. It can be Ted Phillips. It can be ownership. We need answers. I need to know what's going on. I need to know what the plan is going forward.
When they took over the team, you know, I can remember them saying it was going to be a 3-year process. And I was cool with that
because the
roster was bad. You're turning over a 4-3 to a 3-4 defense. You know, that takes time to get the right players.
Yes.
But I'm like you. And maybe because last year we were, what, 6-10? And this year.
Right. Last year we thought was the beginning of the climb.
Right. And so this year I honestly was looking at 8-8. That was honestly my goal. But right now, we're staring 3-13 in the face. You know, because I look at the schedule, I'm like, we should get the Niners at home, but that's about it. So we're looking at 3-13. We really, truly are. And I'm like, okay, you know, going backwards never feels good, even when you're in a quote-unquote, and I'm doing the air quotation marks, rebuild. Going backwards never feels good. You know, even if
when you're in the same sentence as the Browns and the Niners. Yeah, when you're mentioned in the same breath as the Niners and the Browns, and watch this. This is what's so funny to me. And I made one of my coworkers laugh today. He said, Tampa Bay is a team you need to beat if you want to be considered a good team. And I'm like, you know, the Bears are the team that people say that about, right? The Bears are the team they need to beat if they're considered a good team. The Bears don't have the right to say that about anybody. You know, it's like when the Bulls were going through their lean years, and Stacey King would say, "These are the teams you have to beat if you want to get to the next level." And I'm like, Stacey, the Bulls are the team that people say that they need to beat to get to the next level. Bulls don't say that about other people. You know, again,
right.
I'm talking the lean years. You know, the whole division is, and it's funny because after the Bears won the one game. And, you know, everybody had their kumbaya moment with Jay, and you know, his attitude was better, and this, that, and the third, blah, 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 blah. I heard people saying that the Bears could win out. The division is coming back to the Bears, which leads me to my next question. What's going on in Green Bay?
I think you have a culmination of things. I think you have a organization who's, you know, their style with Green Bay. You know, Ted Thompson up there, he's always been a guy that's
right.
always neglected free agency. That's always been Green Bay's bottle. Free agency starts, we put our heads in the sand for 2 weeks, we'll come back up, we'll search the bargain bin, and, you know, maybe grab something here or there. Their team has
right.
always been historically built through the draft. Well, sometimes you have to adapt. And I think, you know, from listening to the experts on, you know, NFL radio, you know, guys who I feel like really know their stuff, and they don't, you know, they don't have no dog in the fight. They also talk about how Green Bay's offense has become very stagnant and predictable. And I think what you see with Aaron Rodgers is a guy that he's just not making the throws that we're accustomed to him making. You know, and everybody
now, here's
like,
my next
know,
question
receivers,
because.
He just isn't as precise as he once was because there's too many times I watch Packers games, and I usually watch them because I have Randall Cobb, and every play I'm praying that they throw him the ball. But it's too many times on a 3rd and 7, on a 3rd and 8, you know, those key plays, Aaron Rodgers will throw the ball behind the receiver when they are open. He's just not making the throws that we're accustomed to him making.
I would like to add this. Screw the Packers. I had Ty, what's his name? That's so bad. I don't even know his name. Ty, whatever his name is.
Montgomery.
I had him in the lineup because they said, oh, ignore the number 88. Now, this is this week, this past week. Oh, ignore the 88. He's our number one guy. He's in the film room with the halfbacks. I start this cat, and then all of a sudden,
right,
nothing. Figures the Packers would screw me over. We have a caller who wants to get in here again. You guys, press the number one button. We got listeners. Appreciate you guys calling in, Darvis. We see you. If you want to get in on the conversation, all you got to do is hit the one button. I believe this is Wood, unless somebody else is calling from Arizona.
Nah,
Wood, what's
me.
Going on, baby? How you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. How you guys doing?
Hey, how you
We're
doing,
Wood? Good. If you call to talk about the Cowboys, we're just going to hang up on you. But go ahead.
No, I wasn't gonna go there, you know. you know, I can if you want me to, but I'm not gonna go there. I'm gonna leave that one alone.
Your team has played up under a little adversity with Dez being hurt, part you know, for missing some games and Tony Romo being out. So if you feel good about your team, hey man, no problem. Go ahead, feel good about your team for a second.
I'm lukewarm right now. I mean, I'm not going to get ahead of myself because they got defensive problems. So that's a whole other story for another day. I was going to say when y'all were talking about two things. When you asked the question about Phoenix, yes, they are 3-18 in basketball. That is for sure. They got cats stealing money on that roster. That's another story. your comment.
Does it start with Tyson Chandler and Paris?
Well, Tyson Chandler wasn't even at the game on Saturday. And then their main offensive threat is Ricky Dudley. So that should tell you something, okay? And I'm not a real basketball person, but even I can see that they got a bad roster. They're not going to win that much this year.
Jared Dudley. Jared Dudley. You just took us back to old New Jersey. Wasn't that Ricky Dudley or something like that? We had a Ricky Davis.
He's their only offensive shooter that they have. That's it. They got some young guys. They have some talent. They probably should start Dragan Bender over Alex Len, but they're not gonna win a lot this year. So then eight would be like a super stretch for them. Anyway, but back to your point on Green Bay, they have no running game whatsoever. And it's like Perrin said that they only, you know, they rely on the fact that, well, we don't have this, but we have Aaron Rodgers. Now, you couple that along with Jordy Nelson not being full strength, Randall Cobb being hurt. They don't really have a third guy because sometimes Devontae Adams is the guy. Sometimes he isn't the guy. They don't really use the tight end like other teams use their tight ends. Because Richard Rodgers can catch the ball, but how often do they throw him the ball? You know, so really they are a one-dimensional team. And that's just Rodgers sitting going back and trying to, you know, bail them out. And really, because they had Fat Lacy, and I don't care on what planet where he lost. I don't know what he lost, because he looked just as fat this year as he did last year.
So, they said he lost all this weight. They kept showing pictures, and I think we were all convinced.
It was some photoshops.
And then we saw him on the field, and it was like, oh, unless he has on
real
pads.
And you know what? At one point in time during the summer, you could tell he lost weight. You really could. And in the first preseason game, I remember looking at him going, okay, wow, he really did lose weight. But somehow, when the regular season rolled around, it's like he was going to, like, Golden Corral, like, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, because whatever he lost, he picked it right back up. And he looked like the old lady.
Breaking news real quick. Clemson and Michigan are both still ranked in the top four.
I don't know how because Michigan lost. Ohio State should be number should be in there.
Louisville is five. Washington is six.
Ohio State is what?
Ohio State's two, and Michigan and Clemson are three and four. I don't know in what order.
It's okay though. If I was Louisville, I would sleep good because if they win out, all they have to do is wait for Ohio State to beat Michigan, and they're in the top four.
Yeah, because that will happen.
That will, yes, it's going to happen.
And you got Wisconsin 7, yeah. Penn State 8, Oklahoma 9, and Colorado up to 10.
Wow, the Big Ten is having a hell of a year according to these rankings, huh?
Who is that?
After the Big Ten is having a hell of a year according to these rankings.
Man, two in the top five,
yeah.
Two in the top four, and then another two in the for a total of four in the top 10. Yeah, that's pretty good. And you still got Nebraska on the backside, ranked at 18. But Big Ten football is garbage. So what can you do?
That's
if you listen to the
If you listen to Paul Feinbaum, there's no other league in America. So, but that dude right there is special.
Man,
I
feel like everybody that calls in to Paul Feinbaum, and I'm really not this type of dude, so I'm not gonna say everybody, but 50% of the people that call in to Paul Feinbaum, I feel like they have a Trump shirt on and their hood is in the closet. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So I can only say.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So what were you?
I've never listened to nor watched his show, so I don't know, but wow.
I listened to the radio version. So, yeah. What were you about to say, Wood?
I was going to talk about U.S. soccer here real quick.
All right. Been a minute. Go ahead. What you got for us? Oh, hold up. For those that don't, Wood is our soccer expert. He's the person that gives us the information on U.S. soccer or soccer as a whole. Just want people to know exactly what they're listening to when you start spitting that knowledge. Go ahead, brother. The floor is yours.
I would say they deserve to lose against Mexico. And I think what part of it goes down to is that they've gotten so comfortable with beating the U.S., Mexico in Colombia, in Columbus, that they didn't think they could lose. And when Tim Howard went out, because Brad Guzan has just regressed, I don't know what that dude's issue is, because there's no way on God's green earth any keeper worth his salt would have let that ball go in at the end of the game. I'll put that squarely. I'll say it was a defensive error, because nobody should have let the oldest dude on the field have a free run like that. Secondly,
right.
I'm gonna put it right on Brad Guzan, because it was not just a fast header that he could not get his hands up. He was not paying attention, point blank period. Because if you're watching the track of the ball, it came right at him, and all he had to do was watch it. He was not paying attention. He was watching the man, not watching the ball. But he's a professional. I'm not. I'll leave it at that. Secondly, if they do not win or get a point out of Costa Rica, which, by the way, they have never won in Costa Rica, and they're playing right now. If they don't win in Costa Rica, they're going to have some problems, because then they'll be at the bottom of the group. They're next to last in the bottom of the group. Huh?
Is that game on TV?
It's on BN Sports if you have it.
Nope.
I had to search for it. I have Dish. I don't know what channel it's on direct.
We better not.
But if you have BN Sports, it's in one of those high channels. It's on one of those high channels.
Just a little college, real quick, little college basketball information. Number one Duke, number one 3, tipped off. Scheduled to tip off at 8:30 Central. So that was about 4 minutes ago. So if you're looking for some college basketball, ESPN, number one, number 3, going head up. Go ahead.
Yeah, because Kentucky already rolled Michigan State.
Might work.
But if they don't win this game, they're gonna have problems, and they're going to have a real struggle, because now what's going to happen is they have to go to the Azteca, and they've never won in the Azteca. They've gotten a draw, but they've never won in the Azteca, because Mexico never plays them anywhere else. Like, the U.S. plays Mexico all over the country. When you go to Mexico, you play in Mexico City. They don't play nowhere else but that city. Mexico is a lot better than a lot of people thought they were going to be. And I think the U.S. just took them a little too lightly. thought that they would be intimidated by playing in the cold weather in Columbus, and they didn't. And they almost got out of there with a point. But I put it on Guzan, and then everybody just went to sleep and let Rafael Marquez get a glancing header, a free run, which should have never happened, and get the goal in.
You know who I'm blaming, right?
Who?
Michael
Bradley.
Yep. Michael Bradley. Michael Bleeping Bradley, as I like to call him.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, in a related story, because his old man is Bob Bradley, is the first American manager in the English Premier League, which is history. That's kind of a history-making event. But unless Bob can turn it around, I can't see him being the coach past February. Because right now they're, you know, the team, the Swansea City, was bought by American owners. And that's nice, and that's fine. They gave Bob a shot, but I think he has the players. He probably needs one midfielder and one defender to help to strengthen Swansea. But unless he can turn it around by, say, January, and they got a large run of games coming up between now and the end of the year, because the international break, the last international break for the year, just ended today. So unless he can turn it around, I can't see him being the coach all the way to the end of the year, because they're going to have to find somebody to try and save the season, because they're in like either next to last or bottom or last. And if you know, the history is, if you are – there's been one team in the last 30 years that's escaped the bottom. They say if you're last at Christmas, you get relegated. There's only one team that's done that, that's escaped that, and that's Leicester City 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, he'll be fired.
So I'd hate it for him, because I like
so,
I like Bob Bradley.
So much hope from the two of you.
Hey, you know what?
Reality,
I have
man.
No faith.
It's reality.
I have no faith in nothing named Bradley. Michael Bradley, Bradley Beal, you name it. I don't have faith in a Bradley.
You don't like Bradley Cooper movies? None of that, huh?
Nope, nothing.
None of that.
Wow. But
so
you know,
those all Bradley.
United has a big game this week against Arsenal. And I'm holding my cameras because I'm waiting to see if the U.S. just gives away a goal, which they kind of recovered a little bit. So, but United plays Arsenal this weekend. And on that, I'll say that I think Mourinho is trying to figure out if he needs other players to bring in later, or is he just happy with the squad that he has? Because when everybody's on the field, they're good. But I think he's like, he's not sold on Daily Blend. He's not sold on Marcus Rojo, but right now, because of injuries, he has to use them. So, and I don't know who he's going to be able to bring in the winter, because January is not a good idea to bring in, you know, guys and hope that they can contribute to a team. You have to bring them in the summer. Usually, it don't work out too well in January.
I don't know what any of that means.
It all goes back to Corey. The only thing you need to remember out of all this is that Michael Bradley sucks. And Josie Altidore and Alshon Jeffrey have the same hamstring. That's all you need to remember.
That dude is
and
still hurt.
Nah, he's playing.
Well,
man. He's playing.
He,
you know,
he,
actually, Altidore is doing okay. He's kind of got his boots back. You know, the U.S. has some, you know, without the door, him and Bradley play for Toronto now in MLS. Now, the only reason, and I'll say this, the only reason Toronto is in the playoffs is because of Sebastian Giovinco. That's it. Point blank. That's the squad right there. Without the door is not it. Bradley is not it. Because they both been in Toronto for a couple of years now. And I don't think Bradley is the guy up there either, but it's Giovinco. Atomic Ant is what his nickname is. Italian, little Italian guy. He's very good. He makes Toronto go.
Okay.
Yeah. I know it wouldn't be either one of those bums. So, Wood, were you happy with what Tony Romo came out and said today? I thought it was the professional thing to do and the right thing to do, where he basically said, hey, Dak has earned this position. You know, I'm the backup, and pretty much I'm not trying to rock the boat, and let's keep on going. But what I will say is I still feel like the Cowboys have a certain amount of dysfunction, because it's funny, every
they
time
do.
I hear a report with Jerry Jones said, and I'm like, wait a minute. No other owner talks about players. And does Jerry Jones realize when he's doing that, he is completely undermining his coaches? Because it's obvious who's calling the shots.
He doesn't see it that way. He doesn't see it that way because he, you know, it's just like when Bob Costas asked him, what, 2-3 years ago, if you were a general manager, you know, would you fire yourself? He basically said, well, yeah, I would, but guess what? I'm not going to do that because I'm in charge. So when you have an ego like Jerry, yeah, I just listen to him, and I take it with a grain of salt because he's going to do what he's going to do. I will say this. He is the vastly improved Jerry Jones, because Jerry Jones from 10 years ago would sit Dak Prescott down this week and start tearing Tony Romo point blank.
How much do you think Stephen Jones is playing a part in this?
I think as time has gone on, Stephen Jones has grown to be able to get his father to, you know, chill out. Because as before, again, 10 years ago, I don't think he would have that influence on his father.
Yeah, because personally, I think Stephen Jones is the main difference. To me, Jerry's still Jerry, but Stephen is the voice of reason. Because if it was up to Jerry, they would have had Johnny Manziel and done a whole bunch of other crazy things.
Yeah, and Stephen Jones is like, nah, bro, we can't do that. Which I'm glad they didn't, you know. But I would say, listen, you know, the Cowboys are doing great. They're 8-1. I'm happy, you know. But I say that with measured, you know, excitement, because they still have defensive problems. They they're not getting to the quarterback enough. The only really great player they have on defense is Sean Lee, and the defensive backfield is suspect, you know. So what they need to do is, if they can improve getting off the field on third down, then I'll start to believe in them, you know, a little bit more. They're still going to be my squad. I'm not going to talk about, yeah, we going to the Super Bowl or no shit like, or nothing like that. That's a ways off. It's possible, but a whole lot. They not have to be able to knock off Seattle in Seattle or in Dallas. You know, because right now, even though Dallas is 8-1, Seattle is still that monster sitting there going, we got the defense that can beat you. You know.
And you know why? Because Seattle remind me of, like, to compare them to an NBA team, sort of like Cleveland. To whereas, you know, all these other teams like a Toronto, like a Boston, a Indiana, they're the type of teams where they need home court if they're going to have any chance of knocking off Cleveland. Where LeBron James is the type of dude that's like, look, we've been there, done that, and I will come into your building and win. And Seattle's the type of team that it's like, hey, look, if we got to go on the road and do this, we're going on the road and do this. You know, all we want to do is be healthy, and we feel like we're going to beat anybody in the NFC anyway.
Yeah,
Seattle's looking good, and that's I posted this week. You know, to me, in the NFC, I'm already down to Dallas. And Seattle, because Atlanta's a fraud. We all know what's going to happen in Atlanta. Somebody's going to go in there and beat them 30-22.
I want somebody to quit.
Suspect.
I want the experts to quit calling Matt Ryan Matty Ice. I am so tired of that name, man. I mean, he melted against. He showed up. He threw a couple bad interceptions against Philly this weekend.
Well,
they need to quit saying that about that dude, because as soon as the situation gets tight, now granted, Julio Jones didn't help him on Sunday, but there was a couple instances where he threw bad interceptions.
And now my main question goes into the AFC, to where, of course, we have New England, but who possibly could New England face in the AFC championship game? Now, I picked Pittsburgh at the beginning of the year, so I'm going to go down with the ship. But Mike Tomlin, to me, is a guy, he coaches like he's playing a damn video game. And this two-point thing has to stop.
It's just stupid. It's just dumb. It's stupid. I don't get it. I've heard him try to explain it. It just doesn't make sense. And it needs to stop because he puts his team at a disadvantage by doing that. You know, and his
it's good when it works. Let's get Wood's response to that, and then we got another call we got to get to. What was your response to what Pierce said? And then we got to come to this other call.
I can agree with it. Tomlin needs to limit that. But on Sunday, like it came back to bite him because once he did it twice, he should have stopped it. But he couldn't help himself because then it becomes a necessity where now I got to give up these points because he gave up 3 points and a missed field goal. Kind of cost him the game, you know, because Pittsburgh, they, you know, regardless of what they gave up, they came back, they went down the field, and that's, again, why I said Dallas defense is suspect because of how Pittsburgh went down the field and got that touchdown at the end of the game. Now, had Tomlin kicked at least 2 extra points, all he really needed was a field goal at some point. The game might have been tied. Had 2 extra points and Boswell made his field goal.
All right.
I do agree with you on that, though, Paris.
Fair enough.
Appreciate calling in, Wood. We got to get to this other call. I believe.
Raiders.
Guessing it could be.
Raiders.
All right, brother. Appreciate
the Raiders.
You. Oh, man.
All right.
Thanks,
fair enough.
the Raiders are playing good football. I can't share it. I believe this is Perk. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong. It's a 985. We'll find out real soon. 985 area code. You're on with Paris and Corey. Who is this?
Man, you already know this Perk.
What's up, man? Boy, how you doing, man?
It is.
985. That's me. What's up, fellas? Long time no here.
Yeah, man. Life comes at you fast.
I told Corey, you've been off the radio so long. That he got a new wife, I got a new hip, and we got a new president. That's how long we've been off the air.
Yeah, man. It's been a while.
What's going on, Bert?
I don't appreciate coming back and hearing that the Cowboys got a chance to win the Super Bowl. I don't appreciate
it. Nobody said that. Wood didn't even say that.
Wood said something close to that. But, you know.
No.
But if you say he didn't, then I'll ride with that. But I gotta, cause that's what I heard him say. You know, well, I ain't saying that, but you know, we do have a chance. He kind of pulled a little George on me, but you know, it's all good though. Definitely to hear that.
Hold on, you didn't just say Wood was straddling.
Just a little bit. I heard it in his voice. He was straddling a little bit, but it's all good.
Wood, he said you hit him with the George movement. Anybody that knows George from the sports group knows that is a straddling. That's a special kind of straddling there that my man George does. But anyway, what's going on, Perk? What's up with LSU, Perk? Give me some info. What's the deal? What's the demo? Because there were some reports today about Jimbo Fisher saying that he's happy where he is, but we all know that's coach speak. They're always happy right up until they ain't. What's going on?
That's what he's supposed to say until he jumps ship. You know, he don't supposed to say nothing until it's guaranteed 100%. So,
like I said, he's happy right up until he isn't.
honestly, man, I don't know because that's one down year from Florida. You know, I think we have a chance, but if I had to put a percentage on our chances of getting Jimbo Fisher, I would say 15%, 15-20%.
Okay.
15-20%. Herman, I like the thought of Herman, but honestly, man, I think a couple people start looking away when Houston, you know, kind of hit that drought. You know, I still think he's a great coach,
right,
and he'll fit our system. But as far as, you know, all the hype, you know, some of the hype kind of died down once Houston started struggling.
That was the Washington boys' fault.
Yeah, man.
Houston wasn't that good. don't blame the coach, man. Blame the Washington boys, man.
All right. You know, I ain't gonna blame the coach, man. Like I say, I still want him, man. Like I still want
and
him.
And to me, that would be my target, honestly. Because like you know, we talked about it earlier. Like I said, it's certain schools that I put on a certain level. And to me, like I said, you know, Florida State, LSU, that's a lateral move. Jimbo's already sort of been to LSU. You know, I really wouldn't waste a lot of time with something like that. But a guy like Herman, that is a definite upgrade. You know, he's young.
No doubt.
Innovative, a good offensive coach. And, you know,
right.
LSU, with that recruiting base at LSU, he's going to be fine recruiting. But this is the guy where Les, you know, Les always brought in, you know, quality classes. Every year, LSU's in the top five. But, man, you know, he found a way to miss on the quarterback year after year after year after year.
Right.
You know, but with Herman's offensive background, this is a guy that I think will hit on the quarterback. You know, he will
get the right
type of quarterback to run his system. If I was LSU, that would still be my number one target going into the offseason. Unless it's somebody out there that we really haven't, you know, thought about. You know, because I've heard,
right.
like, Lane Kiffin. You know, I really want to mess around with Lane. I wouldn't
Hell
want to
no.
do with that one. You know, Bob Stoops, sort of been there, done that. Nah, I wouldn't want to mess with Bob Stoops either. You know, but maybe it's somebody out there that we're sort of missing. And also, something else we have to think about, we all know that, you know, my man down there in Texas, go get the axe. So now when it comes down to it, it's sort of like when my man Tyrone, a.k.a. Ty Willingham, took over for Notre Dame. And I hated Notre Dame, but I'm not going to lie, as far as an African-American coach, I knew that we really did need him to succeed. You know,
right.
for all
yep.
coaches. And that's the same way
right.
I feel about Charlie. You know, I have no love for Texas. But just as far as the African-American coach, I really wanted to see him succeed. So now once he
yeah.
gets fired, you got to think, what's the better job, Texas or LSU? I also think that comes into play. You know, what the coaches view is the best job, Texas or LSU? Because Texas might get first pick of any coach.
Yeah, I think LSU will be a better job, though, honestly. I think LSU is a better job.
Molded, you know, they always say,
yeah.
you know, Texas recruiting, you know, but LSU has a real fertile recruiting ground also. I mean, me personally, I think I'd rather go to LSU. I think it's a different type of booster down there in Texas that I really wouldn't want to deal with.
Right.
I
agree.
Yeah, I'd rather be, I mean, if I had a choice, I'd rather be at LSU. Because, you know, both, you know, the fan bases are equal. They're both, the both fan bases are going to support their team. But like you said, the boosters are on special stuff in Texas.
And Texas
that, you know,
has this, like, overinflated ego because it's like they won, like, one national championship in, like, 40, 50 years. But somehow they act like, for real, because they act like they're supposed to win. And sometimes you have to stop and remind yourself, wait a minute. These dudes have won, one national championship like in
I guess
lifetime.
They count division
Why?
Wins, man. I guess they count division
wins. I think they do. I think I was told that earlier this year, something about a division. Something. So, yeah, that might be it. Yeah, I think I was told that. So, yeah, maybe it's divisions also. That's it. It's divisions as well.
Perfect
yeah.
scenario, we would get Herman and we would find some way to keep Ed Orgeron on the staff because I also think he's a good recruiter. And I think the kids respond
yep.
well to him. And despite his transgressions, I want to keep him on the staff. You know, I would love a bigger name. Head coach, you know, a better. I think we can do a little better than Ed, but I
yeah,
won't complain about what he has done for this program. No preparation or nothing. The kids have responded, and our defensive coordinator gets a lot of credit. But these kids are playing. They played a lot better, and we have been losing. We either have been beating Arkansas in nail biters, or we have been losing to them the last 5 years. And we
True.
Went in there and we beat the brakes off them. And I couldn't be happy about that. Yeah, we fell against Alabama, but we did what we were supposed to do to Arkansas. And I can't be mad at that.
Yeah, I would definitely keep Ed around. I would like to say Ed is the Kentucky guy, he's not the LSU guy. Ed is the Purdue, Illinois guy, he's not the Ohio State guy. You know what I mean? He's just not that. He's just not that guy. He's the Washington State guy, not the USC guy. You know, that's and hopefully Ed realizes that and he stays because everybody says he's a great recruiter and the kids do like him. So,
right.
you know, maybe he should just you know, stick around, you know, and try to work his way up to where he gets one of those second-tier type jobs. You know, if I was him, that's what I would do, but just stick it out, you know, long as he has a good rapport with the next coach and the next coach wants him. But like you said,
exactly.
If I was the next coach, you know, he's a good recruiter. Why not keep him around?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep him around, I'm trying to keep Ed Orgeron. I'm trying to bring him, go back to the defensive line coach. Look, I'm trying to keep him around. I'm trying my best to keep him around. I also wanted to get in on this Pittsburgh on this Tomlin thing because Paris,
right?
You've been dissing my brother lately, Tomlin.
Yeah, man. Yes. You know, this two point thing is stupid, Perk. It's stupid. It has to stop. And it always costs Pittsburgh games because you watch Pittsburgh games, and every week Pittsburgh is either getting blown out or they're in a nail biter. And when you're in a nail biter, you always stop and think and go, oh, yeah, he went for those two extra points. Otherwise, they would only need a field goal. And since he did that and missed, now they need a touchdown.
Tomlin's ego is too big, man. His ego is way too large. Is way too large. And the thing about it, those smart guys, those analysts, you know, it's certain things they ignore when they discuss numbers because it's easy to say, hey, the percentages of going for a two-point conversion, hey, people convert this 66% of the time. Hey, if you do this more often, you score more points, hence winning more games. But the issue and the logic in that is that, okay, yes, it's 66%, but teams rarely go for that, and they don't go for it until they need it. So they might pull something out the hat that nobody has seen, a play that you're not prepared for, and get 2 points. But when I know I'm playing a team like Pittsburgh that loves to go for two, then I'm watching game plan, I'm watching film, I'm watching everything they've done when they've went for two. So those percentages are not the same. They're not going to be the same when I'm preparing for you to go for two. So that's the thing with numbers, man. Just kick the field goal, man, and stop trying to be, you know, I ain't gonna say stop trying to be innovative, but just stop thinking too much, Tommy. You're thinking too much.
I think he might be in trouble because low key, Big Ben came out early this year and said something about practice.
About they was practicing too hard, yeah, because they was getting injured in practice. About them getting injured.
And then Le'Veon Bell came out and said something about practice, and also
I miss so Le'Veon Bell comment about practice.
Now, when you have a team leader, like a Big Ben, with
your
quarterback
Hall of Fame
a respected guy, yeah, when you got a respected guy like a Big Ben talking, you know, usually when a quarterback talks like that, a lot of times they aren't just talking for themselves. They're sort of the spokesman of the team. Because if you think about it, no matter how hard the practice is, Big Ben got on a yellow jersey, and you better not hit him.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You hit Big Ben, and you might have some trouble. So no matter how hard the practice is, he's not getting hit. But you got a feeling that this is an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman. Like, yo, Ben, man, what we doing, man? You know, we doing all this hitting. I can't even get right from last week. So, yeah, I think Tomlin, you know, they need to get in the playoffs and they need to win a game, or I think the brother might be in trouble.
Right, this ain't like the Williams talking.
I hate to cut you short, brother. I wish we could have got you on earlier. I thought you called and you were listening for a while, but we have got to close out
the
show. We're down to our last minute, brother. Next week, call back early. I know you and
Williams
are regular. You're a regular. We'd like to get y'all in. Darvish, we see you listening. Appreciate you again, brother. Paris.
We'll
on our way out, what's your closing thoughts, Paris? You got about 30 seconds. What are your closing thoughts on this week?
This week, I'm just looking forward to the NBA. Little bit surprised with the college football standings, but still a lot of time left. That'll work itself out. And Darvish, stop trolling me with posts of bum quarterbacks from North Carolina. I don't want that Trubisky, whatever that bum name is. From North Carolina. And hey, man, Darvish be trolling me, man. And you better doggone stop it. And that's all I got to say.
Hey, man, look, we appreciate everybody calling. Appreciate Wood and Perk for joining the show. Appreciate Darvish for calling in and listening. Got a couple other people that got in there. And we appreciate you as well. So with that said, we'll get back next week. Same time, same phone number. Hope everybody has a good one. Until next week, we're out of here. Peace.
Peace. PJ, you take your shower?
Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they dealing, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, might not really keep his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day, barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go, give you the best damn show.